Good morning. This is Lincoln reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, January 8th, 2026. At the top of the front page, Clabber, looking back at 2025 and ahead in 2026, by Carla Waters, managing editor. Editor's note: the Times-Republic annually asks some key area officials questions about how the previous year went and what they see for the future. This is one of several stories that will appear in the next few weeks. They all were asked the same questions. This one is from John Clabber, superintendent of Milford Area Public Schools number 124. What would you say is the greatest accomplishment of 2025 for Milford Area Public Schools number 124, and why? His answer: the greatest accomplishment of 2025 for Milford Area Public Schools 124 was beginning a focused district-wide process of curriculum development and alignment. We are taking steps to ensure that teaching and learning are coherent and intentionally connected across grade levels and buildings. While this work is ongoing, launching a clear and unified approach to curriculum alignment has laid a strong foundation for continued improvement and long-term success for our students. Number two, what are the biggest challenges facing Milford Area Public Schools 124 in 2026? One of the biggest challenges facing the district in 2026 is the uncertainty surrounding state and federal funding over the next several years. Changes in funding formulas, grant availability, and legislative priorities create long-term planning challenges for school districts. While Milford remains financially responsible and proactive, navigating this uncertainty while maintaining strong programs and services will require careful planning and continued community support. What were other highlights for Milford Area Public Schools number 124 in 2025? Other highlights in 2025 included continued improvements to facilities, strong student participation in academics, athletics, and extracurricular activities, and a renewed focus on instructional consistency across the district. The district also continued to strengthen communication and collaboration among staff, students, families, and the community, reinforcing a positive school culture across all buildings. Four, what do you see as some of the major projects for Milford Area Public Schools 124 in 2026? One of the major projects planned for 2026 is the expansion of the district parking lot using the school maintenance grant. This project will significantly improve parking availability and traffic flow during school events, athletic contests, and community activities. It reflects the district's ongoing commitment to maintaining safe, accessible, and welcoming facilities for students, families, and visitors. Number five, what would you most like the public to know? One important item that we want the public to know is that Milford Area Public Schools will be adding a curriculum and assessment director for the 2026-27 school year. This position will help strengthen curriculum alignment, assessment practices, and instructional support across all grade levels, ensuring our students are well prepared for future success. Number six, what can residents, local leaders, business leaders, and others do to help Milford Area Public Schools 124? Community support is vital to the success of Milford Area Public Schools. Residents, local leaders, and business partners can help by staying informed, attending school events, supporting students and staff, and advocating for public education at the local and state levels. Strong partnerships between schools and the community help ensure we continue building the extraordinary for our students. Miss Iroquois County Fair Queen headed to state pageant. Miss Iroquois County Fair Queen Ray Stuckey will competed at the 69th Miss Illinois County Fair Queen Pageant, January 18th. The pageant will be at the Crown Plaza Convention Center in Springfield. 75 county fair queens from across the state will compete for cash prizes and the honor of hosting the Illinois State Fair and the DuQuoin State Fair. Preliminary competition begins January 17th. 16 finalists will be selected to compete for the title of Miss Illinois County Fair 2026 at a banquet on Sunday evening. The title of Miss Illinois County Fair is currently held by Jonna Fulcher of Henry County. Contestants are judged on personal interview, stage presence, beauty of face and physical condition, speech, and communication skills. Stuckey of Donovan is the daughter of Colleen Post of Donovan and Jarrett Stuckey of Pontiac. She is the 2024 graduate of Donovan High School and currently attending Kankakee Community College, majoring in business. She will competed in the evening preliminary segment, which begins at 7 p.m. January 17th. Stuckey was crowned Miss Iroquois County Fair Queen in July 2025 at the Iroquois County 4-H and Agriculture Fair. And there's a lovely picture of the lovely Miss Iroquois County Fair Queen, Ray Stuckey, in her blue dress and her crown and her white sash. CRIS Rural Mass Transit District ceases transportation due to funding. By Jennifer Bailey, Dateline Danville. Interim Director Carol Timms said it breaks her heart that the CRIS, or CRIS, Rural Mass Transit District will no longer be able to provide transportation for dialysis patients and others. The organization on January 2nd announced that effective with its 6:30 p.m. ride that day, CRIS Rural Mass Transit will no longer offer rides in Vermilion, Ford, and Iroquois counties. It is with extreme sorrow we announce the dissolution of CRIS Rural Mass Transit due to a decision by IDOT to freeze our funds. CRIS Rural Mass Transit cannot continue to operate, the organization announced. The Mass Transit District has provided seniors and those with disabilities transportation from their homes for almost three decades, Timms estimated. Timms said the organization received an email from the Illinois Department of Transportation the day after Christmas about its funding being frozen due to it not meeting accounting-related deadlines. She said the board concluded, "We can't continue without funds." In addition to about $1.5 million, the Transit District receives through IDOT, its main funding source. It also has contracts with other sources, including the City of Danville. But Timms said the district has had funding issues for a while. "I haven't received funds since July. We really had some accounting issues and we couldn't meet their regulations," she said. Vermilion County doesn't have a lot of accounting talent, Timms added. "It's probably a problem for a lot of businesses." She said the district made the decision to hire an outside accounting firm, but didn't have enough time to get everything in order before the freeze. Chris, Rural Mass Transit District serves around 325 riders every day, 6 days a week, according to Timms. The on-demand transit district takes seniors and those with disabilities from their homes to doctor and other appointments. Chris employs 18 drivers and has just under 30 total employees. This will be permanent, Timms said of operations halting. We're hopeful IDOT will come up with a plan to serve our riders. Other alternative transportation options include through townships services. Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. said the city now must figure out how to provide paratransit services. Williams said the city has received an outpouring of calls from Chris partner agencies asking about transportation. Danville's first obligation is to provide paratransit service for citizens as required under the city's state and federal contracts. Williams said the city has a meeting with IDOT on Monday. He also said the city will have temporary storage for buses being seized from Chris. His hope is to be able to eventually provide services to all those in Vermilion County who relied upon Chris Rural Mass Transit. That will require new contracts and intergovernmental agreements, which must be approved by the City Council. Crescent City Board conducts first meeting of 2026 by staff report. Mayor Mark Rabe called the January 5th meeting of the Crescent City Town Board to order at 7:01 p.m. Clerk Kathy Christensen took roll call with all trustees present. Steve Carley, Kim Rabe, Joe Martin, Chris Morical, Jim Sorensen, and Joe Bellot. Also present were maintenance engineer Al Johnson, treasurer Mary Carley, and park/community center manager Amanda Bellot. The ERH monthly report stated all required samples were collected and analyzed. Monthly operating reports had been submitted. Daily testing took place for process control. Equipment was serviced. The emergency generator was tested. Julie locate requests were responded to. Wells were rotated, and a water main break on December 28th along Route 49 was repaired. Joe Bellot will check into the costs of fire hydrants which need to be installed. Johnson said he would be taking down the Christmas decorations soon and flags will be put out. Minutes of the December 8th meeting were read and approved after a minor correction. Amanda Bellot reported most repairs had been completed at the community center. Mary Carley distributed copies of her Village and Community Center Treasury reports. She noted there were no new outstanding water bills. After discussion, both reports were submitted as presented. There wasn't any new business on the agenda, but the board did discuss a couple items. In talking about the water in Crescent City, it was asked if any of the water going through tile drains and into the ditch could be some of the unmetered water the town loses each month. That is something that can be looked into. Jim Sorensen told the board he had taken the amount of water usage from his bill and broken it down to discover his water costs him about a $1.35 per day. With recent meetings and test results, water bills in Crescent City are among the lowest in the state. Some of the trustees had reached out to residents to get an idea of what type of billing is preferred, biannual or quarterly. The results were about even. Once water rates go into effect, the board will check further into how often bills are done. Christensen told the board the noon whistle is broken, so it will need to be checked into. Kim Rabe distributed contact sheets to each board official. Bills were presented for payment and approved. Motion to adjourn came at 8:04 p.m., with the next meeting set for Monday, February 9th, which is the second Monday of the month. All meetings start at 7 p.m. and take place at City Hall. There is one obituary. Eldora Bongas, 100, of Francisville, Indiana, passed away January 2nd, 2026. Visitation 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday, at Frayne Mortuary in Francisville. Funeral services 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Friday, at the Apostolic Christian Church in Francisville. Graveside services 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday, at Pine Ridge Cemetery in Loda, Illinois. A complete obituary can be found online at www.frainemortuary.com. Information about March 18th primary election announced. A public notice to the elderly and handicapped has been announced by Iroquois County Clerk and Recorder Brian Suver for the March 17th primary election. Those who are not registered to vote and wish to be are asked to call the county clerk's office at 815-432-6960. A list of registrars and locations to register voters is available at the clerk's office. People may also register at the county clerk's office at the Administrative Center, 1001 East Grant Street, Watseka, from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Additionally, people may register to vote online. The website address is iroquoiscountyil.gov/elections. Click on I Want To, then click on Elections, and you will click on the paperless online voter registration link and follow the instructions. Eligible voters must hold a valid Illinois driver's license or an Illinois state-issued identification card. In order to be eligible to vote at the polls for the March 17, 2026 primary election, the last day to register in the county clerk's office or with deputy registrars is February 17th. The last day to register online is March 1st. Electors may now apply to vote by mail, either in the county clerk's office, by phone at 815-432-6960, go to iroquoiscountyil.gov/elections to print a vote by mail application. Click on the vote by mail application for primary election and print out a blank form. The last day to vote early in the county clerk's office before the March primary election is March 16th. Handicapped and elderly voters may also vote at their polling place not accessible to him by requesting a special application from the county clerk's office. Election judges will assist voters who have properly applied for curbside voting. Election judges are available to provide assistance when needed for if a friend or relative cannot assist the voter at the polls. For any information concerning registration or voting for the handicapped, please call the County Clerk's Office staff at 815-432-6960. Miss Ford County to compete in state pageant. Miss Ford County 2025. Charlie Ulrich will compete in the 2026 Illinois Association of Agriculture Fairs State Queen Pageant at the Crown Plaza in Springfield, Illinois. The dates for the competition are January 15th through the 18th, according to information provided. Ulrich will compete with 74 other County Fair Queens for the Miss Illinois County Fair Queen 2026 title. The contestants will be judged on personal interview, stage presence, beauty of face, and physical condition, and speech and communication skills. Personal interviews are conducted offstage on Friday. Miss Ford County will officially compete on stage as contestant number 43 in the Saturday afternoon preliminaries beginning at 7 p.m. in the Ruby/Diamond Room on the second floor of the Crown Plaza. The preliminaries are open to the public with a $25 admittance charge, and children under 10 are free. Finals will be held on Sunday evening at 4 p.m. in conjunction with the Illinois Association of Agricultural Fairs annual banquet. 15 finalists will be chosen then to compete for the Miss Illinois County Fair Queen title. Ulrich is the 19-year-old daughter of Chuck and Sarah Ulrich. She is a 2025 graduate of Paxton Buckley Loda High School. She currently attends Parkland College. She hopes to obtain an associate's degree in communications with hopes to work for a national sports team in their media department. And there's a lovely picture of Miss Ford County, 2025, Charlie Ulrich, in her lovely blue dress and crown and white sash. United Way opens 2026-27 grants process. United Way's annual community impact grants are open to Kankakee and Iroquois County serving nonprofit organizations. Dateline Kankakee, Illinois. United Way of Kankakee and Iroquois Counties is pleased to announce their 2026-2027 Community Impact Grants process is now open. United Way grants are aimed at empowering high-quality 501c3 nonprofit programs dedicated to enhancing education, health, and financial stability for residents in Kankakee and Iroquois Counties, according to information from the organization. Grants process and impact. Interested nonprofit organizations must submit the online letter of intent form by midnight on Friday, January 30th, 2026. Potential applicants can review the grant guidelines and access application materials on United Way's website, www.myunitedway.org/grant-funding. Data shows us that 34% of households in Kankakee County and 26% in Iroquois County are living below the average cost of living in our region, said Mariah Vale, Executive Director of United Way of Kankakee and Iroquois Counties, citing local ALICE data. United Way grants empower programs that address our community's greatest needs, helping families move from surviving to thriving. Last year, over 700 generous community members, as well as local businesses, donated to United Way of Kankakee and Iroquois Counties. These dollars are now being invested through grants in high-quality programs that create lasting change for families in our region. However, demand for nonprofit services and the rising costs of operation for area nonprofits continue to outpace local philanthropy and community donations. As a result, this grant funding opportunity is highly competitive. In 2024-2025, United Way of Kankakee and Iroquois County's Community Impact Fund provided nearly $200,000 in grants for 26 local nonprofit programs, including food pantries, mental health services, housing supports, and more. View a list of programs currently receiving United Way funding at www.myunitedway.org/partners. New application orientations. First-time applicants are encouraged to attend one of two orientation sessions, which will be held virtually. Please email the United Way team to request a link to attend one of these two 45-minute sessions. info@myunitedway.org. Grant orientation number one, Wednesday, January 14th, 12 p.m. Grant orientation number two, Thursday, January 15th, 4:30 p.m. Questions about United Way's community impact grants, please email info@myunitedway.org. Food from the Heart serves 400 families, Iroquois County families. Food from the Heart served 400 families in Iroquois County, December 20th. The organization was started 16 years ago by the Ministerial Association of Watsika. The first year was 2009, when 35 baskets were distributed at the Christmas season. Most of the items in the first baskets were donated. The next year, the number of baskets increased to 100. Throughout the years, the budget has increased due to generous donations from churches, individuals, businesses, and organizations, making it possible for more than 400 baskets. This is done still with the original purpose of serving neighbors in need through Iroquois County, hence the name Food from the Heart. And there is a picture of the outdoor crew for Food from the Heart. Back row, Al Schrieffer, Wayne Jansen, Bob Lubin, Doug Custer, Tim Fletcher, Jim Ward. Front row, Buck Stimson, Rick Elliott, Sarah Atwood, Christy Gabriel, and Izzy Steiner. Pastor Ashley Clifton, Lily Atwood, Tyler Atwood, and Caleb Atwood. Watsika FFA alumni auction scheduled. Zach Moser pauses for a few moments while putting the Watsika FFA alumni auction signs during the warm weather. The Watsika FFA appreciate all of the landowners where the signs are erected for allowing these signs to be placed in these locations. Last year, the auction raised enough to award $29,000 worth of scholarships to applicants from the WCH senior class. And the sign reads, Watsika FFA Alumni Auction. Save the date, Sunday, January 25th. Doors open at noon. Auction starts at 1, Watsika High School Gym. And this is Lincoln. I've been reading for you the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Thursday, January 8th, 2026. Have a fabulous day.